Galatians 5, verses 4, 5, and 6. At last, after many, many, many verses, paragraphs, we come back to the subject of justification. I start like that in that way because so many want to limit what Paul says in Galatians to justification. They agree that we're not under the law for justification. And it's quite true. Verse 4, 5 and 6 of Galatians 5 deals with that subject. But you've got to go a long way back before you get to justification by faith. And simply that in the letter to Galatians. You'll find it in chapter 2. You might find hints of it here and there. But overwhelmingly the subject has been perfection, sanctification, godliness, the entire range of the Christian experience. That's been the subject of Paul. And what he's been saying all the time in opposition to these law teachers is the believer does not have to come under the law. The law cannot assure him, it cannot sanctify him, it cannot liberate him, it cannot glorify him. Nor, of course, can it justify him. But he is a believer already. But nevertheless, Paul does come back to that subject. Because the lawmongers were preaching law for everything, including justification. And, of course, believers still can come under bondage by letting the law get into them. And once the law gets into them, it's not long before they might even start thinking about justification. Now, how am I justified? How was I justified? So he does, Paul the Apostle here, does deal with the subject of justification. But look at what he says here. These are very important verses, 4, 5, and 6. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Let me just deal with one or two technical points here. Again, the subject of circumcision and uncircumcision comes up. That was the particular point that these teachers were making. But of course, as Paul has said in verse 3, don't let's forget, he says all these things in one breath very virtually. Don't forget that circumcision means the whole law. He who lets himself be circumcised is required to obey the whole law. You can't pick and choose. This is what I was saying in the previous discourse. But again, of course, okay, circumcision, uncircumcision, but you can put anything you like there. Put law there. That's what it is, law. But I can understand here, I can hear the Reformed people saying, there you are, you see, verse 4, you are trying to be justified by law. We're not trying to be justified by law. But we do think you are sanctified by law. Well, I've dealt with that time and again. What is more, listen to the apostle here. Can you see, my friend, let's talk about justification, right? Let's stick with justification for this verse here, for these verses here. Let's agree with that for the moment. Okay. Would you agree then that in this matter of justification, law and Christ, grace, faith, and Spirit are on opposite sides? You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You can't get more contrast than that. Law and Christ. I agree at the moment, let's just stick with it, in justification. Law and Christ are not only poles apart, I mean they're planets apart, aren't they? Do you agree with that? But then put the whole thing together. Justified by law, alienated from Christ. Fallen away from grace. Law and grace, poles apart. By faith, faith and law are poles apart. We eagerly await through the Spirit. The Spirit and law are poles apart. And so on. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, I quite agree with you. Let's just stick with justification. But justification, we have two roots here. We have two possibilities. One, law. The other possibility is faith, grace, spirit, Christ. Do you agree that the two don't mix?
Yes.
Don't we? Right. We know Rome mixes them. We know Jehovah's Witnesses mix them. We know the cults mix them. We know that Islam mixes them. We know that the natural man mixes them. We know all that. When I say law, of course, any doings, any observances, any trying my best, any decency, any respectability, any conscience consistency, all that kind of talk, that's all law, law, law. There's only one way to be right with God. Justified means, of course, to be right with God. There's only one way, and that is by Christ, faith, grace, the Spirit. Are we agreed? We're all agreed, aren't we? Unbeliever, are you agreed? Your way of salvation, your way of justification, is doomed to failure. How do I say that? Whatever it is, even if you have no way of salvation, no way of justification, even if you don't believe in God, whatever you say, you're trying to live with yourself and therefore be right with God in some way. You're trying by your works, and you're doomed. It's doomed to failure. There is only one way, my friend. It is by Christ, faith, the Spirit, grace. Look to Jesus Christ, the free mercy, the undeserved mercy, the kindness of God, the love of God, the goodness of God, the willingness of God to save you and to justify you if you just cast down yourself upon Christ and believe him now. Turn away from all your law works and look to Jesus. Look unto him and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for he will save you. But believer, you agree then that the law is on one side, grace, faith, Spirit, Christ on the other, right? That's for justification. Now show me in the Bible where that reverses. Show me in the Bible where Paul says, now that's completely reversed now, because law and grace and Christ and Spirit for sanctification, for assurance, for whatever, they all come back on the same page. Show me. Well, it's in Westminster Confession. I agree. It's in the 1689 Baptist. I agree. It's in the theologies. Yes, I agree. It's in the creedal statements. I agree. It's in Pastor So-and-so's book. I agree. I said in the Bible, though. That's what I meant. And listen. Verse 6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Paul is already moving, even when he's talking about justification. He's already moving to faith expressing itself through love. You would agree, wouldn't you, that this talk is not justification. He's moving into sanctification already, even at this point. Because sanctification, because assurance, because liberation is his theme right through this letter. Law does nothing for the believer. The law is part of Scripture, and the New Testament uses it as illustrations. But we are under Christ, in Christ, believer. We have faith in Christ. We've been granted faith by the Spirit. The Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death. And he's given us the law of the Spirit of life to make us free in Christ. Christ is the end of the law to everyone who believes. It's grace, gospel, faith, Christ. This is where righteousness and sanctification and assurance comes from. This is what he's teaching here. It's as plain as a pikestaff to me. It's all Christ Jesus. It's not law. From beginning to end, it's Christ. As I said to the unbeliever, give up everything and anything else and look to Christ alone and you will be saved. If it's Christ and you won't be saved. If it's something in its place of Christ, you won't be saved. Look to Christ. The same goes for assurance, peace, hope, confidence. Look at the words here. Verse 5. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. We're eagerly awaiting. We're longing for. We have a confident expectation. That's the meaning of hope. In Christ we have it all. We shall be fully made righteous. The righteousness for which we hope. That's when it's full flourishing of the righteousness. But we are now, even now, without condemnation in the sight of God. We do really have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the final day, of course, all will be gloriously righteous in us, through us, and upon us. For we shall see Christ and be like him. See him as he is, and be like him forever. Believer, are you trusting the Lord? Do you have fears and doubts and questions? Do you lack assurance? Do you have a tremendous sense of liberty and joy in your law observance? I doubt it. All that comes through Christ, my friend, by the Spirit, grace, gospel, faith. Set your affections on Christ. Mr. Preacher, are you preaching a mongrel gospel of law and works and gospel? It won't work. Preach Christ. Uphold Christ. I am determined to know nothing. Whether I'm talking to believers, unbelievers, I don't care who I'm talking to. I am, about any subject you like, I am determined to know nothing among you. And he's talking to a church there. Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'd like to give a personal testimony at this point. This passage of scripture will always, as long as I'm on earth, have tremendous meaning for me. Excuse me giving you this personal testimony, but I want to say it. My wife died suddenly, unexpectedly, one Friday morning. The Sunday morning before, I was preaching as normal and going through Galatians. And I was preaching at verse 5. The Sunday morning before she died, this was the text. But by faith, we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. And I must have been saying things along the line, we are justified by faith in Christ and so on, and we're eagerly awaiting for it. We don't know how long we have to wait. It may be many years of this pilgrimage to go through, but one day we shall come into that everlasting righteousness and so on. And on the Friday morning, without any warning, she died in an instant. And my comment was, and I was preaching the next week, next Sunday morning on the verse 6, I was able to make the comment. Last Sunday morning, I was saying that by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. But of course, we did not realize how short for my wife the time would be that she would have to wait. It was 5 days, wasn't it? That's all she had to wait. I've waited 17 years and so on since that time, and more. But however long it is, for every true believer in Christ, one day there will come that perfect, complete, and full flourishing of righteousness, which we have now in Christ. But one day we shall have it, and have it permanently, as it were, openly and forever. So this passage, you see, is not an academic, theoretical word for me. It has resonance, heartfelt resonance. I thank God now as I speak to you that my wife had this righteousness by faith. She now possesses it by experience in glory. Unbeliever, come into Christ and you too will have this glorious righteousness. Believer, you have it now. But you have it all your Christian experience, not by law, but by grace, faith, the Spirit, Christ. Dwell upon him, think upon him, preach him, lift him up. I, if I be lifted up, let us lift up Christ. Let us preach Christ. Let us live Christ. Let us love Christ. Let us serve Christ. This is the gospel message we have here. It is all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ.